This is the Wild Crime Report for Monday, the 22nd of April, 2024. The Wild Crime Report is a bite-sized summary of what is happening around the world in the realm of environmental crime. It brings together a collection of the important stories that hit the press, be it seizures, prosecutions, or interesting developments that impact our most protected species. And I'd like to thank those of you listening for helping the Wild Crime Report get to 100 subscriptions as of last weekend. It's much appreciated, and I'm intending to make sure I reward those of you on Substack with some writings in the next week. If you aren't on Substack and you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, do yourself a favour, as the great Molly Meldrum would say, and get over to Substack and sign up. Now, let's get into some information. Back in the first week of March this year, the Wild Crime Report discussed the release of rhino poaching statistics by the South African government, which, unfortunately, saw an increase in rhino poaching across South Africa in 2023, up from the previous year. Well, the neighbouring country of Namibia this week was in focus when the Voice of America Online publication reported that the Namibian Ministry of Environment had recently acknowledged that rhino killings at the Etosha National Park had quadrupled during the first quarter of this year. Figures shared stated that 28 rhinos were killed between January and March this year, as opposed to 7 in the same period last year. In fact, it was just the Sunday before last, the 14th of April 2024, that two suspects were apprehended at Etosha for the killing of two rhinos and found to be in possession of the 4 rhino horns procured from the dead rhino. So the numbers are still going up. Understandably, people are concerned. Etosha is not the biggest park in Namibia, but it's considered one of the best game reserves in the country for its rich biodiversity and the proximity to many iconic African species, especially as it captures the migrations of zebra and other animals. Only so much can be drawn from a spike in numbers in one park alone. But as I discussed with the spread of poaching within South Africa, criminal networks will displace if wildlife protection is better enforced in one location. And when you consider how porous South African country borders can be, moving from one jurisdiction in South Africa to another one like Namibia may be a calculated move by poaching networks. Or it could just be a bad run of luck, and as one environmental journalist pointed out about Etosha, a lapse in security after the 3-week mourning period when the Namibian president passed away back in February. Either way, it's always important to look at these sorts of trends and numbers and consider all the possibilities. Now, staying with poaching in southern Africa, and just this week, the Monga Bay News outlet reported that in Malawi, two suspects, 48-year-old Grave Nakoma and 50-year-old Nixon Nathukwa, were arrested on suspicion of killing an elephant in the Kasunga National Park. The two men were found to be in possession of 16.6 kilograms of ivory, as well as a large caliber firearm suspected to be used for poaching. Pretty relevantly, the two men have considerable form. Nathukwa was previously convicted for poaching offences in the same park and was sentenced to 5 years prison back in 2019. However, he was released only 2 years later after his sentence was commuted. And Nakoma was known to be on a wanted list in connection to multiple incidents of poaching and is also wanted in Zambia for poaching. Should they both be found guilty, I'd imagine a reasonable judge will consider these aggravating factors upon sentencing. While 16 kilograms of ivory may not sound like much, it's always worth considering the region in which these crimes take place. Malawi is the neighbouring country of Mozambique, where 4.1 tons of ivory was just found in Maputo port last month. So it's reasonable to consider that Nathukwa and Nakoma are operating at the beginning of an ivory supply chain that starts in the national parks of countries like Malawi and Zambia, and then gets stockpiled and built up until it's crammed into a shipping container and ready to be sent to Asia, where the real value of raw elephant ivory exists. Perhaps investigators in Malawi will be able to gather more from these two suspects who, on the face of it, don't appear to be rookies when it comes to poaching wildlife. Now, over in Hong Kong, and last Tuesday, Hong Kong Customs intercepted a ship as it left Hong Kong and was heading to nearby Macau. Upon boarding the ship, officers discovered 360 kilograms of shark fin that were determined to be from a protected species, although it was not named specifically which one in press reports. Upon boarding the vessel, 8 local crew members were identified, none of whom had an export license for the fins or, unsurprisingly, had any information about the stock. Who gave you the bags and who paid you to take them to Macau would probably be my opening questions. For now, no arrests are reported as being made and no further details have been shared on the investigation. This is yet another seizure of shark fin being smuggled by boat on the same route. We previously reported on 1 ton of dried shark fins seized back in mid-March by customs. And the reality is, this is probably just a fraction of what's been stopped. Sharks have come into massive focus in recent years, with all sorts of pressure being exerted on countries and companies to curb the trade in shark fin, due to the damage it's doing to protected shark species around the world. The game changer came into effect over a year ago when CITES, the convention that all countries abide by, agreed to make around 90% of shark species protected on Appendix 2, meaning that international trade is now restricted. However, passing laws is one thing, but enforcing them and having the capacity to combat what is still an overwhelming demand for shark fin soup in Hong Kong and mainland China still remains a challenge. And lastly, in the last week alone, 2 separate seizures of turtles and tortoises were made at Chennai International Airport in India. The first seizure, the weekend before last, was 493 species that were smuggled in check-in luggage from Bangkok, Thailand. A majority of the species were red-eared sliders, a terrapin that is incredibly distinct with a striped body and small red stripe on the side of its head, giving it its name. An Indian national, Sri Muhammad Mabi, was arrested by customs officials while in possession of the luggage. However, the intended recipient, another Indian national, Sri S. Ravi Kumar, was also apprehended. Ravi Kumar is reported to have been previously charged for trafficking Indian star tortoises back in 2022, so it's not his first rodeo. The second seizure, just last weekend Saturday, was of 5,000 red-eared sliders smuggled from Malaysia this time. An astounding amount, if true and accurate. They were found by airport security after 2 suitcases were left unclaimed on a luggage belt. No suspects were arrested and, following protocols by the Wildlife Department, the turtles were sent back to Kuala Lumpur, hopefully in something more comfortable than a couple of suitcases. Whether the 2 investigations are connected or not, it's not known at this stage. If you've ever spent time looking at the illegal reptile trade in Southeast Asia, you'd be familiar with many indigenous Indian turtles and tortoises being smuggled the other way around to the rest of Asia. Indian star tortoises from southern India and Sri Lanka remain in high demand, as well as the many varieties of river turtles from the north of India and provinces like Uttar Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh. So why are all these turtles coming into India? The answer is not so obvious, but like with many wildlife being seized incoming at multiple Indian borders, it suggests a growing consumer demand for live exotic pets, including reptiles which can be highly sought after for their attractive features, and especially in crowded cities where the upkeep of an aquarium or terrarium pet is relatively low maintenance. Red-eared sliders are not CITES protected, however they are illegal to trade, transport or possess under India's Wildlife Protection Act. They are considered one of the most traded species in the world, but also an invasive species. So possibly they are another valuable item to Indian buyers who are looking for something foreign and rare. The reptile species in Southeast Asia is a pretty dynamic trade, and I recommend anyone who wants to know more to dive into the litany of material online on the illegal trade from India, Madagascar, and all across Southeast Asia. There are plenty of reports, articles, and documentaries on the subject. While many routes in that region lead to Hong Kong and China, what makes the reptile trade difficult to police is that there are other destinations like the Middle East, Europe, and the USA. At any given point in time, there is probably a suitcase full of poor critters and shells flying in any given direction around the globe. In case it wasn't clear, I've always had a soft spot for turtles and tortoises. And that is the Wild Crime Report for this week. Once again, thank you to the first illustrious 100 subscribers, and please share this to those in your network who might want to subscribe. It's been both fun and informative for me to produce these reports these last 4 months, so it's an added bonus that people out there are actually listening and hopefully finding it useful too. I'm Matt Durrant. Until next time, stay wild and keep the animals there too.